Well, good morning again. Continuing on with Colossians. And my text is Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 to 8. And Paul says in his prayer, "We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel, that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love." And I've entitled my message this morning from Colossians, Three Steps to Successful Living. And I'd like to share them with you from what I get from this passage of Scripture. Three Steps to Successful Living. Everyone would like to achieve some measure of success. Everybody wants to be something. And when we think about success, we could think of many things. Successful businessman, successful teacher. There are all kinds of things you want to be successful at. It's hard to define how people think of success, especially in the society we live in today, because it's very success-orientated. People are driven to achieve, to be something, to be successful. But how should a Christian measure success? How should we measure success? Certainly not by worldly standards. So when I thought about this, I was thinking about it as I read this passage of Scripture. And when I thought about this, it reminded me of a song that Roy Rogers and Dale Evans made famous a few years ago. Or should I say many? How many of you remember Roy Rogers, Dale Evans, and of course, Gabby Hayes? Remember Gabby Hayes? He would always say, "You're darn tootin'," and he would spit a long stream of tobacco juice out. Roy Rogers and Dale Evans, they made a song famous. And actually, this is what gave me the idea. When I thought about this, I was reminded of a song that Roy Rogers and Dale Evans made popular many years ago. And can you guess what it is? No, not Happy Trails. Faith, hope, and charity, that's the way to live successfully. How do I know? The Bible tells me. Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. You can tap your toes if you want. Well, there's truth in that. Faith, hope, and charity, that's the way to live successfully. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. And you know, it seemed to fit, that song, when I thought about it, seemed to fit in so neatly to what I want to expound on this morning from Paul's letters to the Colossians. To have faith in Christ, to love your neighbor as you would yourself, and to have an unshakable hope in the future is what I call successful living. So let's take a look at Paul's letter to the Colossians, keeping in mind that this letter is the inspired word of God. Sometimes we forget that. It is the inspired word of God, and it's just as relevant and as applicable to us today as it was to those Colossian believers so many years ago. J. Vernon McGee. He is one of my most popular Bible commentators. I read him a lot. I listen to him whenever I can, too, with his Texas group. J. Vernon McGee, in his commentary of Colossians, he makes an interesting observation of verses 4 and 5. He makes an interesting observation that here, Paul links the trinity of graces for believers. One, faith past. Two, love present. And three, hope future. Faith, love, and hope. So we begin our study with the first step of successful living. Faith past. Verse 4 says, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Paul was happy. He heard that. You have faith in Christ Jesus. Great hope, he said. We've heard of it. And Paul begins to point out the good points of those believers. They had faith in God, and faith rests on historical facts. It's based on the past. It was based on what they had already heard. They heard before the word of truth of the gospel, verse 5. They heard it. Their faith was based on it, on the gospel message. This refers to the great truths that pertain to the gospel of the grace of God. Faith believes that Christ died for us. Christ died for you and me. It's a personal thing. I always remember the day that it became personal to me. And when it became personal to me, that's what transformed my life. Before, I would see Christ on the cross in different churches, hanging from the cross. I would go to church with my mother, and I would say, who is that on the cross? And she would say, that's Jesus. Well, what is he doing? Well, he's nailed to the cross, and he's dying for our sins. But I could never personalize it, that he was dying for me. And the day that I could personalize that, and realize when the truth of the gospel message finally broke through my mind, and I knew that the Lord Jesus Christ had died on the cross, personally for me, that he had taken the punishment for my sin, the punishment that I deserve, he had taken it for me, and he had delivered me from the penalty and the punishment. Christ died for you. The gospel is not something for us to do, rather it tells us what Christ did for you and me 2,000 years ago. We had that study on the Abrahamic covenant, and I don't know how it was with you, but it was a blessing to me as I went over it again, that we are not kept by the law, that it doesn't matter about keeping the Sabbath day on the Saturday or anything like that, but that we are free. Christ died for us. He freed us from our sin, and we don't have to do anything about it but to just to be faithful to him and to follow him. Make him number one in our lives. The gospel is not something for us to do. Rather, it tells us what Christ did for you and me 2,000 years ago. Praise the Lord. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Faith is not a leap in the dark. It's based on historical facts. It's believing God. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Praise the Lord. Faith is based on the past, but love is for the present. And it's that which brings us to our second step in successful living. Love present. Verse 4. Paul says, and of the love you have for all the saints. So these were exceptional believers in Colossae. They had a love for one another. They had a love for all the saints. I wish we could say that about the Church of Jesus Christ today. There are far too many saints today who spend far much time crucifying their fellow saints, attempting to find fault with them. Some of them go about saying that they have the gift of criticism. They're placed in the body of Christ to find your faults and to bring them to your attention. although I am very thankful that I have not met anybody in our congregation like that, you have the gift of criticism. It's so easy to criticize and find fault with others. I am sure that you're like me. You often have to check yourself. It's so easy to criticize. We can always find something wrong with our brothers or sisters in Christ. We always have a tendency not to look at their good points, but always to look at their failings, their bad points. And you know, the Lord Jesus said that we have many bad points ourselves, and we should look to ourselves first. This is what Jesus said. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will be able to see the splinter in your brother's eye. I always remember that. So when I go to criticize anybody, I always try to think of that first scripture. Take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll be able to see that tiny, tiny little splinter in your brother's eye. It's so easy to criticize. And when it comes to love, it's interesting to note that Jesus did not make love an option, but an imperative command. It's imperative that we love one another, that we respect one another. We don't criticize one another. We don't tear one another apart. I was in a church once where the congregation would get into what I would call a feeding frenzy, like piranhas. They had their times when they would just be tearing one another apart. They didn't have anything good to say about anybody. And consequently, that church never really went anywhere because it had such a critical spirit. Jesus did not make love an option, but an imperative command. John 13:34 and 35, Jesus said to his disciples, "A new command I give you, love one another." He didn't say it was an option, did he? He said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." It's the height of hypocrisy to claim to be a Christian and in the same breath criticize your brother or sister in Christ and harbor resentment towards them. Unfortunately, in many churches that does happen. Remember that we are sinners saved by grace. We're not perfect. How many of you have ever met a perfect saint? I know that the Catholic Church have perfect saints, but here we don't have very perfect saints. We are all saints here, and I know that none of us can claim to be, "We've arrived. I'm such a mature Christian. I'm in control of everything I do and say." When you have a problem with a fellow saint, you need to pray for him or her and do your best to iron it all out. Iron out your differences. Don't harbor resentment. Don't keep it. So these Colossian believers certainly had the good points. They were sound in their faith. They were fundamental in their belief. They heard the gospel message. They believed in it. And they had a love for the brethren, the saints. And Paul says that they had a hope for the future. And that brings us to our third step. Future hope. Verse 5. The faith and love that springs from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of the truth of the gospel. The hope that is stored up for you in heaven is the blessed hope of the Lord's soon return. We talked about that this morning. Is the Lord coming this year? Would this be the year that the Lord Jesus Christ would come? When in a twinkling of an eye, we would be gone. Think about that. Is this the year that it will happen? Why shouldn't it happen? Why should we not look forward to it? But we are so wrapped up in what we do, and everything that goes on around us, it's natural. We are earthbound creatures. But we need to be looking for the blessed hope. As I was reminded of that here here it is, Titus. I love this verse of scripture. Titus says, "Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Every morning when we get up, It's a good thing to look out the window. How many of you get up early enough to see the dawning of the day? I like to do that sometimes. I look out the window and see the day dawning, and I often wonder, is this the day that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come? Is he coming to take me today? And like the English word hope, which is wishful thinking, I hope things are going to get better this year. I had such a terrible year last year. I hope this year is going to be better for me. I hope this and I hope that. The New Testament word contains no uncertainty. It speaks of something that is certain, but not yet realized. It's coming. The believer's ultimate destiny is to share in the very glory of God. You ever stop to think about what it will be? You know, I often look at people dying in hospital, and I know that most of them are going into a crisis. And when you look at a person dying and they're laboring for breath, you know they're so close to death. And the more, you know, the spirit leaves the body. And just like that, they have entered into eternity. One of these days, we're going to wake up dead. Just like that. We realize we have passed into eternity. How terrible it must be to pass into a Christless eternity. To know that what those crazy Christians told us is true after all. But God, I didn't know. No one told me. Too late. But when we pass into eternity, what a glorious hope we have. Our hope is in Christ. When we walk that street of gold, when we see Christ face to face, when he takes us by the hand and leads us through the promised land, what a day, glorious day, that will be. And so, says in these verses 4 and 5, we find the three steps to successful living. Faith, love, and hope. That is what I consider to be successful. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. Verses 5 to 8. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of the truth of the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who has told you, and who also has told us of your love in this. Paul says in verse 5 to the believers in Colossae, he says this: you have already heard about it in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. It came to those believers. It has come to you. It's come to me. The gospel is the good news of Christ's victory over Satan, sin, and death. Think about that. Christ won the victory over Satan, sin, and death. Hallelujah. He won the victory. The Bible tells us that Jesus was virgin born. He performed miracles. He is the God-man. He died on the cross, was buried and rose again on the third day. He sent the Holy Spirit, and he is now sitting at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for you. Making intercession, just think. Jesus prays for us. And his position there indicates that our redemption is complete. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Our redemption is complete. The Word of God is complete. We have the gospel message, the good news. There are many people who would lead us to believe that there is extra revelation. Sometimes I like to surf through the television programs on a Sunday sometimes and listen to some of the teachings that we get from different preachers. And you'll always come across one who claims to have a special revelation from God other than what's in the Bible. But we don't believe those characters because Jesus said it's finished. The work of redemption is finished. And we have the Bible. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. We can trust it. We can rely upon the Word of God. And verse 6, Paul says, all over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing. If you read some of the different commentators, they claim that what Paul said was a hyperbole. It was really not. Paul couldn't possibly claim that the gospel message had gone throughout the whole world, but it had gone through the Roman Empire. And ever since that day, it has been spreading. It's still going out. The gospel message is spreading. It's spreading out throughout the whole world. And people are hearing the gospel message. Verse 6, the gospel transcends all ethnic, geographic, cultural, and political boundaries and will bear much fruit. And we have a part in it, too. We have a part in it to tell others. A little something I would like to share to you about. The Bible tells me so. How do I know it's true? A few years ago, this nursing home we used to go to, there was a Dutchman there, an elderly man, and he knew his time was getting short, and he didn't have a purpose for his life. What is it all about, he would say to me. What am I here for? I'm an old man, I'm going to die. What has been the purpose for my life? And one day he came to our little service, and he sat there, and he got very agitated, and he says, how do I know that's true? And I said, I'll talk to you later about it. So he stalked out of the room where all the other people were. And he called me on the phone a few days later and asked me to come to him. So I went to him and he said, how do I know all this stuff in the Bible is true? I said, because the Bible says it's true. I believe it by faith. Well, what is faith? And I tried to explain to him about faith. I read the gospel message to him. I went through the scriptures. And every time I read him a scripture, but how do I know it's true? How do I know it's true? How do we know it's true? The Bible tells it. It takes the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? To know, we know it's true. We know it. So how do you measure success? Is it by worldly standards? Or do you consider yourself successful simply because you are a Christian? You have a vibrant faith, a love for the saints, and a great, bright, and glorious future. I don't know whether you agree with me about three steps to successful living, but when I look back at my own life, I never had success until I knew Christ, as we talked about today. He is the one who gives us purpose of life. And these Colossian believers had found a faith. And Paul says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Paul knew the good points, so praise God.